In the Middle East, a shepherd will go into a crowded sheepfold and call out his own sheep one by one, calling them by name. They'll recognize his voice and they will come to him. The shepherd, after all, spends most hours of most days in the company of his sheep. He knows their individual characteristics. He knows their markings, their likes, their dislikes. And what's even more important, they know him. They know his voice. Now, somebody else can come into the sheepfold and they're not even going to go near him, even if he calls out their correct names. The sheep are always listening for the one voice that matters, the voice that they trust. And when they hear it, the shepherd doesn't need a sheepdog to try to keep them in line. He won't walk behind them. He'll be driving them on. He walks ahead of them, calling to them, and they simply follow him. In the Bible, the picture of the shepherd with his sheep is frequently used to refer to the king and his people, or the leader and his people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, they were all shepherds leading the people of Israel. In today's modern world, we don't necessarily think of presidents, prime ministers, or national leaders in quite that way. Today, when we think of leaders, we get the image of people running large companies or the presidents of banks and huge corporations. We think of people sitting behind desks, dictating letters or chairing board meetings. Quite often, these kinds of people are quite removed from most of the people who work for their organizations, and they seldom see them face to face, and they probably don't know the names of very many people, and they delegate communication to others to talk to their people. But in the Bible, the ideal king is pictured as a shepherd, depicted in Ezekiel chapter 34, which very might well be modeled after a young ruddy-faced shepherd boy named David, who became king after God's own heart. In a world where they knew about the intimate contact and trust between shepherd and sheep, this was their preferred way of talking about kingship. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus projects for the people that were there and for us an image that people of that time were pretty familiar with. And Jesus shows the way in which the shepherd keeps the sheep safe. And like God himself in Psalm 121, verse 8, watches over their going out and their coming in. The emphasis is on safety and the fulfilled life of the sheep. Now, the shepherd has no business looking out for his own interests. His priority, his sole priority, is the sheep. If you find a king like that, then you have found the Lord's anointed one, the Messiah. After a shepherd's flock has been separated from any of the other sheep that are not in his care, he takes them out to the pasture. Near the pasture is a pen for the sheep. Shepherd takes his place in the doorway or the entrance and acts as a door or gate to the pasture. The sheep can go out to the pasture in front of the pen, or if they're afraid, they can retreat to the security of the pen. I believe that Jesus is unmistakably giving us his spiritual meaning, which is that he is the only gate by which people can enter into the safety and blessing of God's provision for them for all eternity. As we know, Jesus will even more visibly state this to his disciples on the night that he will be arrested by saying to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." In many Eastern sheepfolds, the shepherd lies down at night in the gateway to stop the sheep getting out and to stop predators from getting in. Here Jesus is talking in an abstract way about the difference between true shepherds and false ones. So, who are the false ones? Jesus says they're thieves and robbers, complete strangers to the sheep. Well, I think that Jesus almost certainly had in mind various people in leadership during his own lifetime. Maybe they were zealots or revolutionary leaders who were somewhat eager to lead Israel into confrontation with the powers that ruled over them, especially the Romans. There were others, like the ruling house of Herod, who were eager to submit to the ruling power of Rome as long as it meant keeping their own power and wealth in place, if you will, their own job security. I should also remind you that in the Gospel of John, this event takes place right after Jesus healed the blind man, and the Pharisees were all over him for doing that on the Sabbath. These so-called spiritual leaders were leading God's people towards paths that were not intended by God to go down. In Jesus bringing the shepherding image to the people, he is, in a sense, asking the question, how will you tell God's true appointed king when he comes? The answer said, you can tell a true king the very same way you can tell the true shepherd. Anybody can turn up in Jerusalem and give himself airs, proclaiming himself as a leader or a Messiah. But only the one who comes by the way God has appointed has the right to do so. Anyone can call followers, but the sign of a real king is the response that comes from the heart when people hear his voice and in loving trust follow him. Now, I think it's important for me to mention right now that right after today's Holy Gospel, Jesus continued speaking about being the shepherd for his people. In the verses of John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, many people equated the God who revealed himself in the Old Testament, which in Jesus' day were called the Scriptures, as the shepherd to his people. Look at today's Psalm, Psalm 23, which begins with the words, the Lord is my shepherd. The prophet Isaiah describes the Lord God as he tends his flock like a shepherd. He says, he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads that those have young. Isaiah 40, verse 11. The psalmist writes in Psalm 80, verses 1 and 2, hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. When Jesus proclaimed himself as the good shepherd, I believe he spoke with certainty and authority, saying to the people of God, I am the good shepherd. And I believe he made the connection for us, not only to the many scriptures about God as a shepherd, but that he himself is God. Just as God spoke to Moses as the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, when he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In verse 14, after Moses asked God what his name was, he replied, I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. In Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, he's telling the world, I am who I am. In effect, Jesus said the very same thing when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the vine. I am the light of the world. I believe Jesus further indicates his love for his people, his sheep, if you will, that as their shepherd, their good shepherd, saying, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Isn't it amazing that we're that important to God? That he speaks to us through his word. He cares for us and watches over us, providing for us and protecting us. More importantly, God loves us so much that he laid down his very life on our behalf. I don't think that most of us really take the time to stop and think that God loves us so much that, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought at a price. The debt has been paid for the sins. The Apostle John, in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, wrote, he is the propitiation for our sins. Or let me put it in another way. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You hear me say those words every Sunday after the absolution, at the end of what we call the comfortable words. I walk down the aisle and bring those words out to you. Today, I ask you, let those words sink in. That Jesus Christ, the righteous good shepherd, stood in the way of the one who seeks to drag each one of us down, to make us feel guilty for our sins. But Jesus paid the bounty on our lives, on your life. Jesus, the righteous good shepherd, willingly laid down his life for you, his loving sheep. You're that precious to him. I ask you, listen and take the time today to hear his voice and to follow. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.